Good morning. Welcome to worship on this this gray day, but one in which we give thanks for the provision of God sending us some rain we desperately needed. We have a busy day next Sunday, so I hope you can join us for much of the things going on next Sunday. We start with worship next Sunday, which is a big deal in and of itself always, but next week we also have a baptism of Cameron Cecil, so invite you to join us for that and welcome him into the body of Christ that we share. In the evening, there are a couple things going on. There's a Halloween party happening out here at 6 o'clock. Tina may still need some folks. I don't know if she does for sure or not. But if you're still willing to do a trunk or treat, get in touch with Tina Heitman and let her know. It's always a fun time with the kids doing their little hayride around to do their trunk or treating around. And then there's also next Sunday is Reformation Sunday, and the Reformation worship that we've done for years with together with other Lutheran congregations in the county is this year going to be hosted by St. Luke's in Tyro. So that begins at 7, and you're invited to join us for that. It's always a festive occasion when we all get together and sing loud together, celebrate that Reformation heritage. Andy, you want to come say a word for us, sir? I do invite you to pay attention to those other announcements in the bulletin. Not next week, but 2 weeks from today, Scholarship is going to host a luncheon to raise money to support our folks with their college scholarships. Yes, ma'am.
We don't have
seniors this Wednesday. Seniors was last Wednesday, not this Wednesday. Thank you. Was there another announcement in the back I thought I saw? Maybe not.
Good morning. Good morning. As most of us has heard by now, Pastor Matt has accepted a new call with St. Mark's in Asheville. His last Sunday will be November the 10th. So there have been several people asking about a call committee. If you are interested in being on the call committee, contact me somehow, some way, let me know. The call committee, according to the Constitution bylaws, is 5 people. So we will form a committee out of the ones that show interest. And with talking to the bishop, pretty much, you know, the main thing here is that we not be anxious. We trust the Spirit and say goodbye to the Smiths well. And being able to grieve that the pastor and his family will be leaving us, we want to celebrate together and celebrate well, and that'll put us in a better position to move forward as we try to tackle the task in front of us. So thank you, Pastor Smith, and get in touch with me if you want to be on this call committee. Thank you very much.
Thanks, sir. So yeah, here we are. We have been so immensely blessed to be here, and I need you to hear this. I said this in the letter that hopefully you got. We weren't trying to leave here. There's nothing wrong. There's nobody made us upset. There's nothing that pushed us out. There was no situation that that wasn't good enough or anything like that. We've been blessed to be here. It is just the case that when this conversation began, I felt called through this conversation to this different thing. And I think we have to trust that that's how the Spirit works sometimes. And I want you all to know we're grieving. This has been hard for us because we love you and you all have loved us and we felt that. And oh my goodness, what a wonderful week it was last week. It was strange for me, I'll admit, to stand here and receive all of your appreciations. How kind it was for you all to put that together for me. And so it just twisted my heart a little bit extra to stand here knowing that that was a likelihood that was happening as we were here. But we thank you for the ministry we've shared. We look forward to spending time with you over the next 3 weeks. We are praying, have been praying, will be praying for the good ministry that is ahead for Holly Grove and what that's going to look like. So thank you for that. We're grateful. Sir. Thank you. Where are you going to do that, Andy? The back Sunday school room. Very good. I see one prayer shawl up here this week. Is somebody going to present that for us? Thank you, Chip.
This prayer shawl is for Randy Wofford. He's a friend of Latifah's, and he's having some health issues.
We wish happy birthday this week to Wendy, Bob, Scott, Crystal, and Jim, and happy anniversary to Robert and Mandy, Michael and Kendra, and Harold and Myra. Are there other folks we ought to add to the list? Let's pray for those folks. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We stand as we begin on page 94. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by Christ's authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful God, your bountiful goodness fills all creation. Keep us safe from all that may hurt us, that whole and well in body and spirit, we may with grateful hearts accomplish all that you would have us do. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Congregation may be seated. If the children will head this way for the children's message.
Hi guys, I know it's been a while. I've been working, trying to adult. It's not working out very well, but it's okay. So this morning, I've got a paper with three letters on it. It says NGU. Does anybody know what these letters might mean?
Nuggets.
Nuggets? Nuggets are always good. Okay, I'll tell you two stories. And then we'll try and figure it out. So the first story is going to go along with one of our readings today. There was this woman in the Bible, and somebody had done wrong by her. And she went to a judge, and she was like, "Can you please give me justice against this person?" And he was like, "No, go away." And she just kept coming back and kept coming back. And eventually, the judge got annoyed with her and said, "You know what? I'll give you justice. Get on with your way." The other story is that there was this little boy. And every day, he asked his parents for a trumpet. He just wanted a trumpet so bad. And they said, "Nope, you're not getting one." One day, he went to a music store and found one in perfect condition, case and all. And he told his parents how much it was. And they eventually were like, "He's not going to stop bugging us if we don't get it." So they got it for him. And he played band throughout high school. He got a college scholarship. And then he went to play in one of the most famous orchestras. So going off those two stories, what do you think, maybe going back to the letters or just the stories, what do you think I'm trying to tell you? Yeah, they were bugging him. But what I'm trying to get at is that neither the woman nor the little boy gave up. They kept going, and there were things that got in their way, the judge and the parents, everything got in their way, but they never gave up. And in my personal life, I've been going through some stuff with work and school, and I'm just kind of getting a little bit annoyed myself and feeling like, should I quit? But in my head, I know that I'm not going to give up. Hence the three letters, never give up, because God knows exactly what he wants me to do, right? And I'm not going to give up on my faith. I'm not going to give up on school or work or anything like that, because every little thing in my life, God has planned out, right? And if we were to give up on God, that would kind of suck, wouldn't it? We wouldn't be like the little boy or the woman. We wouldn't get what we wanted because we wouldn't have faith in God. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah? So don't give up, whether you don't get on a basketball team at school or you don't get an A in school or your friend's upset with you, don't give up, okay? And as you get older, keep this in mind too, because things will go a little bit harder, but with God by your side, it's a piece of cake, okay? Let's say a little prayer. Dear God, please help us to never give up and always remember you are with us. Amen.
The first reading for this morning is from the book of Genesis. The same night he got up and took his two wives, his two maids, and his 11 children and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and likewise everything he had. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved. The sun rose upon him, and he passed Penuel limping because of his hip. The word of the Lord. The psalm this morning is Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come?
My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth.
He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber.
He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep.
The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand.
The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night.
The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life.
The Lord will keep you going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore.
The second reading is from the book 2 Timothy. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have known the sacred writings that are able to instruct you for your salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who is the judge of living and the dead, and in view of his appearing kingdom, I solemnly urge you, proclaim the message, be persistent whether the time is favorable or unfavorable, convince, rebuke, and encourage with the most patience in teaching. For the time is coming when people will not put up with sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their desires, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander away to myths. As for you, always be sober, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, and carry out your ministry fully. The word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 18th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, grant me justice against my opponent. For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. In the parable, Jesus tells about the need to pray always and not lose heart. This widow persists in bringing her case before the judge. She persists in seeking justice. We hear twice that this judge is no good. The second time, the judge himself is the one who says it. He holds no reverence for God and no respect for people. Probably he looks at the widow and thinks, what's in it for me if she has justice? She's got no money, she's got no standing, she's got no family or people or influence. So he declines to act. Woman, You're not going to have any justice today. But the widow, despite the fact that it's very much true that she has no money or influence or family, she doesn't let up. Give me justice. And the answer comes, no. But I need justice. Not today. Please. And on and on and on until the judge gives in, not because he's had some change of heart, but just so the widow will leave him alone. And that starts to sound not unlike more than a few conversations with the little ones at my house. I always start off with a strong case about not ruining our appetite before dinner, but sometimes it is easier and better just to give in and hand over the goldfish than it is to keep up the endless fight. This is what the judge does. Literally, so she will stop browbeating him, so that she won't give him a black eye over this, the Greek says. Despite the fact that this judge, by his own account, is an awful judge, the widow's persistence pays off. And Jesus' implication is that we should pray with that same persistence. By the time of Jesus, people had been praying to the God of Abraham for thousands of years already, and people had likely noticed what you have probably noticed yourself. Sometimes it's not always clear to us what difference our prayers make. Sometimes we pray and wonder if those prayers go any higher than the ceiling, if anyone's listening. Sometimes we doubt if it's even worth the time to pray. And this is what Jesus is getting at in this parable. It's not that God is anything like that unjust judge. It's that Jesus is urging us to persist in faith, even and especially in those difficult times, to keep open the lines of communication in our relationship with God. Because the thing is, God does hear prayers. God does care. God is at work to set the world right. We know this because in Jesus, God has already gone to the mat for us, taking on all the worst that humanity has to offer, carrying it to the cross so that the world would be changed, so that we would be changed by the power of Jesus' defeat of death. We are the people who believe that the wholeness of new creation is coming into this world. But we also know from experience, don't we, that sometimes it can feel like we are speaking into a void. But here's the thing. God hears our prayers, and God is faithful. Of course, what Jesus means by saying that God will quickly grant justice is up for some interpretation and debate. Reminds me of that old joke I may have told you before, where the man unexpectedly encounters God, and when he does, naturally he has some questions, right? God, what is time like for you? And God answers, well, a billion years in my sight. Excuse me, I'm telling this joke wrong. What is time like for you? A billion years to you is but a second in my sight. Amazing, the man thinks, right? He asks God another question. God, what is wealth? What is possession? What is money like to you? And God replies, well, $1 billion to you is like but a penny to me. It's insignificant. So the man considered that a little while, and then he had a thought pop into his brain. God, since it's next to nothing to you, can I get a penny? And God says, sure, yeah, absolutely, in a second. Which, of course, for God is a billion years, right? Maybe there is an element to this in our prayer life with God. Maybe what we ask God may come, but in God's timing. So when we pray for healing, stability, peace, God's yes to that prayer may be part of God's larger plan to bring healing and restoration to all the world by the coming of God's kingdom. Remember, God is not a cosmic vending machine, right? It's not like we can just come up with the right combination of quarters and prayers, and then presto, out comes exactly what we want instantly. God does answer prayer, but sometimes that answer may be no, or it may be yes, but not right now. And if you struggle with this, if you're wrestling with God over this prayer issue and you feel like you're left limping because of it, church actually, I think, is the perfect place, because questions, doubts, even complaints are a natural part of our faith, and the church is the place where we come together in that struggle to support one another in the life of faith. In fact, if you have doubts and questions, what better place is there to be than the very place where Jesus meets us at the table in bread and wine, claims us here at the font, and feeds us? In this section of Luke's gospel, Jesus has been talking about the urgency and the turbulence of the end times when the Son of Man comes like flashes of lightning. I think this parable serves as instruction for us how we behave as people of faith precisely in those difficult days. And Jesus says, pray always and do not lose heart. We're called to persist in prayer, in the words of 2 Timothy. Whether the time is favorable or unfavorable, we're encouraged to struggle with our needs and with our God, employing the utmost patience. Sort of like Jacob did, right, in that all-night wrestling match with the Holy One. I think we can make good use of these instructions. But if we're going to take this widow as our example for prayer, we have to acknowledge that she is in no way passive about the things she prays for, right? Even though she's vulnerable and has nothing and nobody to support her, she doesn't let up with her actions. She uses her voice to work for the justice we presume she prays for. In the same way, our task is not only to pray for God's justice, but in the meantime, before the fullness of the kingdom arrives, also to work for it. When violence continues to claim innocent lives, pray always and do not lose heart, and also be a force for peace and reconciliation in all the parts of the world you touch. This political cycle, leaving you more and more depressed every day, pray always and do not lose heart. But also, be informed on the issues and vote, right? Is your neighbor, your brother, your wife, or your pastor driving you crazy with their incessant behavior? Pray always and do not lose heart. And also, find ways to live out God's love for them. The really good news in all of this is that at the end of the day, God is nothing like that unjust judge. So if the judge, who cared nothing for anybody, if he heard the widow, how much more will the God who cares for us, loves us desperately, how much more will that God hear us and answer us? Our God is more like a loving parent than a judge, who will not abandon us, despite the fact that we don't deserve forgiveness, despite the fact that we over and over again fail to be the people God calls us to be, despite the fact that it doesn't make any sense by our own righteousness. God answers our prayers with words like this: "This is my body given for you, my blood shed for you. God answers our prayers with the promise of eternal life, forgiveness of sins, the true presence of Christ Jesus. It may well ruin our appetite for the concerns of this world, but it is God's good pleasure to take us by the hand and lead us into the feast that has no end. Thanks be to God. Amen. Hey, sweetie. Okay. What a friend we have.
Let us reaffirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed, found on page 105 or on the screen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Of the Holy Spirit living in us, we offer our prayers for the church, the world, and all in need. Faithful God, you will not leave us without a blessing. Wrestle with your church and renew it for the sake of the world. Preserve your life in you so that we may faithfully name you before the world. Lord, in your mercy, grant us joy in these autumn days as the daylight shortens and summer's green abundance decays. Scatter the seeds that will bring forth new life in the spring. Keep watch over your whole creation, Lord, in your mercy. Mercifully extend your ancient promise to all people. Keep and defend the nations from all evil, and be their shade and protection. held in your steadfast love, guide the human family in all ways of mercy and justice. Lord, in your mercy. Our help comes from you, Lord, maker of heaven and earth. Hear the cries of those who suffer in body, mind, spirit, or any other in need, especially people we hold in our hearts and people on the prayer list. Help us not to lose heart, Lord, so that your healing love prevails in our lives. Lord, in your mercy. Trusting and delighting in you, we commend all of our lives to your loving hands. We offer these prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
Also with you.
We share a sign of Christ's peace. Thank you.
Let us pray. God of all creation, all you have made is good, and your love endures forever. You bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts that we might be world's signs for your gracious presence. In Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." We pray as Jesus taught, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. The gifts of God for the people of God. You may be seated. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. O God, we give you thanks that you have set before us this feast, the body and blood of your Son. By your Spirit, strengthen us to serve in all needs and to give ourselves away as bread for the hungry, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. We'll say together our mission statement on page 5 of the bulletin. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Go forth in the world in peace and spread his love and joy. Amen.